Good morning, welcome to Emmett Audio. So I'm up at the usual dog walking place, but an hour earlier this time of year than I normally am because it's spring break, and I have to get my younger daughter to a sports camp that starts right around when I'd normally be here walking. So I'm here earlier, and the light is gorgeous. It was rainy yesterday and through the night, and so there's mist rising off of everything, but it's sunny and the birds are singing and the light, that low angle light is just unbelievable. Yeah, it's incredible. It's hitting the cupola of the barn behind me. There's mist down in the valley with trees rising above it. It's just spectacular. It's a good reminder that, you know, our experience of the world is partly timing. You know, when I'm here an hour later, generally it's nice, but it's not this nice. And seems like there's certain times of the year when, because the sun rises and sets at different times of the year, it lines up better for me to, for the time that I'm here to be when the sun is doing this. And this time of year it tends to not be that. But I might have to start walking the dogs at this time of day, since it's this nice out. The other day, I laid a fire for myself in the wood stove in the morning, but then decided not to light it, because it was going to be a really nice warm day, and I'll just leave this for later. And there wasn't enough coals to light it. Just sometimes you lay a fire, and if there's enough residual heat in the wood stove from the night before, even if you walk away and don't touch a match to it, it'll ignite. It'll spontaneously ignite, and over the course of a half an hour or so, from that residual heat. But there wasn't this time, which meant that in the evening, when it was time to light a fire, all I had to do was go put a match to it, and I had a lovely fire. And the wood room was already filled, and it was so nice to have this thing that I did for myself, to set myself up for it. And I shared it on Instagram, and people have been sharing their own experiences, and someone said this lovely thing, that they did something similar, and it delighted them twice. I can't get that phrase out of my mind. Delights me twice. Because it perfectly speaks to what it is. You know, I felt in the moment that I did it, I felt this pleasure, the anticipatory pleasure of how nice it was going to be. And then in the moment, I felt how nice it was. So it was both of those things. And I think that's the thing that really speaks to me is that there's so many things in life where we could get that delight me twice out of it if we just, you know, it requires you to put in effort before you have to. Right? An example somebody else gave was filling the mocha pot for themselves, so that later on they could just pop it on the stove, right? And like, yes, that requires you to have washed the mocha pot the day before and refill it and set it up. Rather than doing what, you know, I and many of us do, which is, come down the morning of, and you've left the mocha pot from a previous day for you to deal with today. And, you know, I think it speaks to a larger pattern of you can go through life sort of constantly having to drag forward into the present moment things that you need by doing all the deferred maintenance that was needed. You could say, you know, emptying and refilling a mocha pot is deferred maintenance. Or you can set yourself up for the future by doing maintenance preemptively, that means your experience will be lovely in the future. Every week I sharpen my tools, or I try to, and I try to do that on Friday, and I try to clean my shop as well. And this is a great example of this, actually. It's like, I could leave that for Monday morning. There's no difference between doing it Friday or doing it Monday morning. Right? Takes up the same amount of my time. There's just an arbitrary sort of cutoff to the end of the week and the start of the week. Except it's not quite like that. Right? It's like, well, the thing that's arbitrary is choosing a day to do it, but then doing it so that you set yourself up so that on a regular basis, your tools are sharp when you need them to be, and your shop is clean. And you don't have to do that at the start of your day as a prerequisite to starting work. And I think this is where it really, where the rubber meets the road with this idea, is that so many things that we can do to delight ourselves twice are things that if we didn't do them earlier, that in the moment when it would be nice to have the thing, we think to ourselves, I don't have time for that. Let me just do the sort of the quick, dirty version of the thing. Right? So maybe you don't light the fire in the evening because you tell yourself, I'm about to go to bed in an hour and a half anyways. How nice is this fire going to be? Let me just not do it. Right? I don't want to put in the effort now to set myself up for it. And so then we don't end up doing a lot of things that we otherwise would do that would bring us joy in our life, right? I mean, we'll still make ourselves cups of coffee, etc. There's some things where the barrier is low enough that we're still going to do it. But the quality of our experience is different. When I sharpen my knives once a week, if I notice if I don't do it on Friday, the friction to stopping and sharpening is much higher to do at the start of a work day. A lot of times I'm feeling the pressure to earn the money. And so I put up with knives that are less sharp than would be ideal. And the only one who suffers from that is me. The spoons are fine, but I'm using that much more effort to create them. And so my body is the thing that suffers the impact of that. It's a penny wise and a pound foolish. And then furthermore, not only am I robbing myself of the sort of pleasure of the thing that I don't do because I didn't set myself up to do it, but I'm also robbing myself of the pleasure of that I get from setting it up. So I'm going to be looking for more examples of this in my life because I love this idea of delighting me twice. I don't think it has to be, for instance, for my girls, often they will set out their clothes the night before. And they started it as a practical thing. It's like, it's dark, you can't be rummaging through your dresser when your sister is still trying to sleep or whatever, and so figure out what you're going to want and set it out. But also, I can see how that's a delight me twice moment. They're anticipating the next day, thinking about what they're going to wear, and then in the morning they're like, oh yeah, okay, I already have it laid out, and you get that little ping of satisfaction that you already did the thing. And so I think this is one of those things in life where we think it has an effect that is about half the size of the actual effect that it has. Because we think the difference is, or maybe it's even a third of the size of the actual effect. Because we think the effect is the difference between doing something early or not doing it early, right? Like doing it early or doing it later. the barrier to entry. It's not like not doing the thing at all means that the barrier to entry goes away. That barrier to entry, right, of needing to clean the coffee pot before you make a fresh pot of coffee, that doesn't go away because you decide not to make the coffee. It's still there for the next time. So there's actually a much wider spread between the two states of being than I think we give credit to. And it's probably two or even three times greater than we intuitively think when we start out just thinking about it casually. And that's a big effect. Thank you for listening. Talk tomorrow.